What's your exit strategy? So understanding before you get in these investments, how much pain can you endure? I love using emotion and testing on emotion of what different human beings can handle. How much can we endure with a loss before we just say mercy and take an unrealized loss, sell it, and then make it a realized loss? So understand your exit strategy at that point too. How much from a money management standpoint can you afford or can you endure losing?
You're listening to the Engineer of Finance podcast with Ken Green. Please stay tuned to the end of the episode to hear boring yet important disclosures. Thank you.
Hi, this is Ken Green, the host of the Engineer of Finance podcast, and today's episode is about exit strategy. I am sure I've talked about this in the past and on previous episodes. It's just sometimes when you're just working so many hours and doing so many things, it is hard to remember what was a dream in person or at a workshop or on stage or behind a microphone. And but at the same time, so if this is redundant, I apologize. At the same time, you should hear a lot of consistency from me because you know I'm telling the truth. And so this episode is about exit strategy, and I think it's very important to revisit or talk about this topic. What prompted this conversation is I was just reading news about just the geopolitical situation, what's going on, and I'm not trying to make people nervous, but I get nervous. It just seems like I've been very hopeful that the escalation or the conflict, war, whatever the hell all these nations want to call it and the media want to label it, but this whole tragedy that's occurring in Ukraine, and I'm not going to pretend that I understand any of it on either side. It's just overwhelming the amount of information, misinformation that's being put out there. And then you hear our leader speak, and then you hear staff behind him disagree with what he just stated. And you hear all these parties talking. You just don't know what's up and what's down. But I think everyone agrees it just looks like a mess on all sides. And a lot of people are paying the price. A lot of people are getting killed. And I was hoping it would de-escalate, and now the rhetoric is even ramping up more, and I always get a little nervous when the two most powerful nations in the world when it comes to nuclear arsenal start ramping it up and using language like, we're not bluffing, and don't you dare, you'll pay the consequences. I think there's enough data out there over the last few decades that nuclear war, we all lose. And I think just recently, in the last year, I was watching War Games, and it's amazing how outdated all the technology presented in the movie is today. But I think when you play tic-tac-toe, you can't win, right? No one wins this game. And so anyway, I was really thinking about exit strategy because I'm like, what is the exit strategy on this war/conflict? I really don't know what it's labeled. It's just a mess, and it's tragic. And so what is the exit strategy? Like, how is this thing going to end? And how do you get out of it? What was the exit strategy for Afghanistan? That was a freaking mess. What was the exit strategy for Iran and Iraq? And I really don't want this to be sounded like pro-war, anti-war, or this is a political statement by any means. It's just anytime I get into a savings or investment strategy, the first thing I look at, because I've been burned big time in the past, and boy, have I talked about my pain in the past. What is your exit strategy? Like, how are you going to get out? Forget the projected internal rate of returns and the forecasting and how beautiful these prospectuses look and what it could be. Those are nice and bright and shiny objects. That's why we invest, and that's why we're willing to put money at risk. What is your exit strategy? And how are you going to get out? And so, well, I'm reading the news this morning and trying to pivot to positive. It's like, hey, I'm so grateful I have my family. I'm grateful I have this home. I'm grateful to live in this beautiful area. And I was thinking about the house. When we bought this house, I was not that eager to live in Midtown Reno, but my wife was excited by it. And we were just looking at tons of properties, and it was just crazy. It's just, you look at it, and it was gobbled up. This was 8-9 years ago, coming out of where homes that were valued at $450 were all of a sudden $170, and they're just getting gobbled up. You had all these people, right? When cash is king, when you have a bunch of money liquid, opportunities seek you out. And anytime a house hit the market, it was gone. But we lucked out, looked at a house over Memorial Day weekend. I believe it was Memorial Day weekend. And it just looked horrible on the MLS. It just made no sense to even look at it. But after the 20th plus property, I don't know how many we looked at. Maybe that number's low. It just, because it felt like tons. These things were already gobbled up. It seems like a lot of time, right when it hit a listing, by the time you picked up the phone, it was already under contract, which is a little suspicious. Anyway, we're just, last house we're going to look at over Memorial Day weekend, and the pictures on this thing were just horrible. It made no sense to look at it. But one thing I found, which is interesting, this is probably why I got the property, is I always joke that realtors are the best photographers in the world, because it's amazing how they can make a tiny piece of crap look so good on these photos, so big and so wide and so welcoming, and then you show up and it's like, what a piece of junk. This house, this is probably why we lucked out, didn't look that great in the pictures. We go to see it, and it's, okay, I'm not that interested in living in Midtown and Downtown. With that said, all I see in this property is exit strategy. Zone multifamily, yet there's only one unit. I see a lot of opportunity for improvement. I easily see how that, as the economy and real estate market starts picking up, because it's so close to hospitals, because it's so close to downtown, because it's so close to the airport and transport and grocery stores, like, I do not see how you can lose. And so the exit strategy is, yeah, there might be a little bit of a delay before we could sell it, but I just don't see how we can lose on this. And so that focus on what was a, I would argue, a great purchase for an asset. So thank goodness for my wife, because I never would have looked at it, has served us very well. And just focusing on the exit strategy, knowing that, hey, we could develop another unit on the back when the time is right. Knowing what this could be, watching more and more wealth coming into the neighborhood, and boy, has it improved our neighborhood. And so focus on exit strategy. And as long as you break even, you win. I remember in the past working with engineers before I was in the financial industry and in the insurance industry. And then when I was in it, but still engineering full time and just trying to help other engineers invest in the way I was trading in the options market, the derivatives market, and how my whole focus was not on the internal rate of return, but on exit strategy. The volume of people in that option, how liquid is it? How easy can we get out? And then defense focus, not losing a penny. I didn't care if I went a whole year, as long as I broke even. Now, I know if you argue the inflation argument of 2.5% 10 years ago, and I don't have records in front of me, I'm just going off memory, but I didn't care if, as long as whatever I start at the end of the year, and if I made a penny, I was a winner. I was focused on defense, and whatever it was is what it was. But exit strategy, how are you going to get out? How can this work against you? Very defense focus, and then what great opportunities present themselves. And so I would argue probably one of the best approaches to saving strategies and investment strategies is to focus on, I'll talk about this too at portfolio management, but focus on your exit strategy and money management. I remember years ago, it must have been early 2000s. Maybe 2004, I was just so fascinated by the stock market. Now, I'm engineering full-time, but after I got my PE license, I was like, I'm going to dedicate a couple hours a night learning from traders. I'm going to fly all across the U.S. I was just so fascinated by investing my own money. And boy, did I go through a lot of pain, and boy, did I spend a lot of money for that education. But what was interesting on the literature and the textbooks and the training they provided, all this focus was on the upside initially. And like at the end of one of the books, I'm sure I still have that spiral ring notebook sitting in a box now or in the basement right now. The last chapter was about money management. And I was like, man, they got this thing all wrong. That should be, now it's not bright and shiny, it's not exciting, but they should have the first chapter about how you get out, what your exit strategy is, and money management, portfolio management, how much should you ever put at risk based upon what you have in liquidity. And I thought, but that, I would say that section was probably the most powerful information that should have been up first, not in the back, because boy, did I get hurt, because when I started playing that game, here I am focused on internal rates of return. What kind of rate of return can I make? And I'm sure I've shared this story. First time when I started in options back then, I quickly turned 15 grand into 7,500 in a few weeks. Now, I didn't make 7,500. I cut the portfolio in half. I lost $7,500 because I thought being an electrical engineer, being a civil engineer, I'm just so good in this area, that's just going to naturally carry over to a whole different specialty in options. And no way fear is going to outweigh greed. And no way is me getting in focus on greed and rate of return going to get me in trouble. I'm just going to focus on what this could be. Boy, did that burn me. So on top of all that expensive education, a lot of one-on-one training, a lot of workshops, and a lot of fancy textbooks. But then when you're really playing the game, it's amazing how all that shuts down. And then you really learn and you really have the discoveries when you get your butt handed to you. And that was probably the most valuable lesson. And that's, to me, still, that's a lot of money to me. I don't like losing, and I don't like losing money. But my focus was not on portfolio management, or money management. My focus was not on exit strategy. And so with that learning lesson, everything is about exit strategy. And I understood it prior to that, but it really hit home with Wall Street. So I just want to talk about different products, different assets, things to think about when you're looking at a savings or investment strategy. A savings and investment strategy. So for example, cash, right? Exit strategy, that's pretty clear. It's very liquid. You get in and out, pretty nice. Now, when I say cash, I don't mean the physical version of it, because that's becoming more problematic, unfortunately. Boy, is cash becoming illegal. And over again, it's just amazing where you go, how they won't accept cash anymore and they don't have change, and pick an excuse why they don't have change. But when you look at what you have in your checking accounts and your savings accounts, very easy to move that electronically from institution to institution, paying people through apps, through Zelle and Venmo and all the other ways to transfer money. Very efficient. And so if you need to get it, you can move it very quickly, unless you upset the government, and boy, can they show how fast they can shut that down. Total different topic. CDs, a defined certain amount of time frame, 6 months, a year, 2 or 3 years. And even if you have to get out early, you just lose out on the interest. So there's a lot of exit strategy on CDs. And a big safety factor there too. If you're looking at money management, pretty hard to lose in those type of products. Now, one of these days, I'm going to have some gold and silver gurus come on, and I'll get that lined up, hopefully by the end of this quarter this year. Gold and silver, not asked about this as much in the last year compared to the craze with cryptocurrency in the last few years, although not asked about crypto too much this year, interestingly enough. But gold and silver, what's your exit strategy there? And I'm talking about the real, tangible metal, right, in your possession. How does that work? And I'm not saying go out and do this, but it could be a fun game. Go buy some physical gold, and then the next day go to try to sell it back, and there's less buyers and sellers in that game of that physical asset. The spread between the bid and the ask, essentially, you're going to get hurt on that because of liquidity. And then, depending on when you bought it, because we've had this downward pressure on gold and silver, which is very interesting to me, because the dollar isn't worth crap compared to what it was several years ago. When you print 30% more money than what was in circulation, and if everything, I think, was on the up and up, how could that asset go down? And now, I don't want to go on that tangent. It's just, I think, a very interesting discussion. And then, so it could be a good asset because it's real, it's tangible, it has a strong history to it, and it could be a nice insurance hedge on money if you're worried about the value of the dollar. With that said, what's your exit strategy? Not so easy to get. It's not as easy to get out of. And then also, just a joke, I always like saying, hey, if gold and silver is so good, and all these gold guys and gold nuts out there saying you should buy more and more gold, well, if it's so damn great, why are you selling it? And what are you selling it for? You're selling it for cash. So you want cash for doing this transaction. If you believed in it so much, wouldn't you just hang on to it? And that's not really a fair joke, but I think it's funny. Real estate, exit strategy. My goodness, just 6 months ago, and for the last, I don't know, at least 5-6 years, at least here in the Reno area, what an incredible time to be selling real estate, because it's so liquid. Everyone wanted to buy it. People showing up the first quarter of this year, 10, 15, 20 bids on it. What an interesting strategy. Real estate agents putting it out on the market at a lower price to get people to start bidding against each other and just put it through the moon. And sellers were getting a lot more than what they were asking for. Now the tables are turning, and it just talks about exit strategy. How are you going to get out? When you look at real estate, that is typically a mid-term to long-term commitment. Historically, real estate has performed very well for people who invest in real estate. It's just over the long term. And what's your exit strategy, though? How are you going to get out? When you're looking at different types of investments in the stock market, now, if you're in a taxable investment account where you're just, hey, I'm not going to do any of these qualified plans, none of the IRS incentives, right? The government incentives to go into qualified plans, pretty decent exit strategy, other than there's a big difference between short-term and long-term gains. If you can invest in equities and hang in and being there over a year and then move money, you're going to be taxed at a way different rate at this time than if you're doing short-term investments and you're in and out of these positions. One is going to create essentially an ordinary income tax, and whatever tax bracket you're at, effective tax, you're going to get hit. And if, you know, where, and I pray our government doesn't change this and make it really painful, but right now it's very favorable for capital gains, where if you can hang on to those type of securities for a certain amount of time, then you could only be taxed at 20%, 15%, or if you're really low income, 0% on the capital gains. So that type of investment, there's still a lot of exit strategy, but then also you have to look at the risk component. And with this type of volatility in the market, these up and downs, if there's a kind of short-term focus and you're unfortunate to be hit with this drawdown, all of a sudden you're 10, 20% down, what's your exit strategy? So understanding before you get in these investments, how much pain can you endure? I love using emotion and testing on emotion of what different human beings can handle. How much can we endure with a loss before we just say mercy and take an unrealized loss, sell it, and then make it a realized loss? So understand your exit strategy at that point too. How much from a money management standpoint can you afford or can you endure losing? Now, I remember I was at, I stopped going to these. Once in a while, I still attend, but I was part of this lunch network group that actually I put together. This was about 9-10 years ago. I was trying to grow my insurance agency at the time, and I wanted to meet more people and I wanted more business. And I just thought, how nice would it be just to once a week meet with all these different people representing different industries and companies they're in, and just over lunch, enjoy a nice lunch, and not refer, but over time, earn the relationship so that you have maybe a great person to refer business to and get referrals from. And unbeknownst to me, this one lady was being represented by a financial advisor that was at the table, which I did not know she was his client. And she was really concerned about the stock market and all her money, and she was close to retirement. And she says, hey, Ken, how much should I have at risk or invested in the stock market? Because I just got done showing a presentation on different strategies and different ways to handle and move money. And my first question was, because I don't know her yet, it's like, how much can you endure losing? And she said, $0. I was like, if you're not willing to lose more than $0, you should have zero money at risk in the stock market. Now, of course, I didn't know her advisor right next to her. And then she's like, well, he told me this. And what do you, and I was like, go talk to him. I had no idea. You just asked me a quick question. I just gave you my opinion, not knowing your whole situation. But based upon that answer, that's the right position. But go talk to your advisor and sit, because I'm sure there's a lot of things I just don't know. And that's the dangers of me getting trapped answering that question. But anyway, investments. Now look at qualified plans. Exit strategy. What's your exit strategy? Now, the beauty in some ways, as we get more and more disciplined with our money over life, right? As we get older, that's wisdom. It can be very good to have the money locked up in a way that you can't touch it. Roth IRAs, big incentive if you qualify, where you don't get to take the tax deduction up front. However, all that growth is income tax free as it accumulates and accumulates. And then in retirement at 59.5, and whatever you choose to start taking those distributions of that money, all income tax free. Now, in exchange for that, now the beauty of it is it's almost permission to be more aggressive in your investment with a Roth IRA, because if you're 10, 15, 20 years out, historically, and the market has performed pretty well, it's a great place to put a portion of your money. And then to have that huge benefit and that reduction of opportunity costs by not having to pay income taxes and all the gains and all the income, that's huge. Now, what's your exit strategy? Essentially, you're not getting out of it until 59.5. And so that's a big component. Now, you can get your money out, but there can be consequences. But that's the exchange, and that's why it's okay maybe, and could be to your benefit, that it's out of sight, it's out of mind, and you're creating some substantial wealth through that type of a qualified investment vehicle. Now, 401ks, traditional IRAs, they have their place. It's usually the last place I like looking, because there's just more and more constraints on how you can access that money and less benefit, in my opinion, for many. And the exit strategy can be very painful, the 10% penalties. the income taxes that were deferred, that now you're going to pull out that money, you're going to have to pay those income taxes. So what might appear to be $100,000 on paper, if you really need that money, the exit strategy can be very painful if you don't have other buckets to pull from, because if you're at a 30% effective tax bracket and you're getting hit with a 10% penalty, all of a sudden that what appears to be $100,000 and you need that all that money is now $40,000 light and there's only $60,000. So there's a variety of other things I could go through, but I thought this would be a 10-minute show and just realized I've been talking for 20-plus minutes somehow. But I hope you really appreciate this monologue on exit strategy. And I would really, this is my bias, just being in engineering forever. I like safety factor. I like redundancy. And I'm just a huge believer that, and I will start sharing some numbers this year that really when it comes to, when you're very defense focused and when you're focused on money management and not losing money or reducing those losses and how you're going to get out of situations with exits, that has performed very well for a lot of investors. It's an approach that I'm very biased to, because when you don't focus on exit strategy and you're just focused on huge returns, that can be very hard to recover from. And it's trite in my industry. I see this example all the time. However, you might not have seen this example, but when you just look at drawdown and money management, and if you have $100,000 in investment and you experience a 50% drawdown in your money, that means the next year or the next period of time, you're going to have 100% return just to break even. And that's why focusing on defense first, protecting principal, and then what comes for returns, and then focusing on exit strategy could serve you really well. Thank you so much for listening to the Engineer of Finance podcast. Look forward to next week's episode. Thank you.
This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be considered investment advice. The content is intended for United States audiences only. Opinions expressed are as of the date of this publication, and such opinions are subject to change. Green Financial and Insurance Services Limited, Green, is not responsible for any trading decisions, damages, or other claimed losses resulting from or related to the content presented. Green makes no representation as to the completeness or accuracy of the information presented. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. Forecasts are not a reliable indicator of future results. Investors should be aware of the risks associated with investing. All investments are subject to investment risk, including possible loss of capital. Investors should seriously consider if an investment is suitable for them by referencing their own financial position, investment objectives, and risk profile. Consult with a qualified financial advisor as necessary before making any investment decisions. Thank you for listening to the Engineer of Finance podcast with Ken Green.